In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, we read of a man named Jacob, a man who spent some time running from his past. He had sinned. He had deceived. In specific, he had betrayed his older brother and broken the trust of his beloved father. For what? For an inheritance. Jacob was the second born. His brother Esau was first born. Jacob wanted the firstborn's portion, a double portion of the inheritance and leadership over the family. And this was no ordinary family. Jacob's father was none other than Isaac, the miracle child given to old Abraham and barren Sarah, the son who allowed himself to be tied to the altar on Mount Moriah, trusting that God would raise him from the dead. And more, God had promised that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come from Isaac's line, Abraham, Isaac, and eventually the Savior. But Jacob wasn't thinking about any of that. As is so often the case with all of us, Jacob was thinking of himself. And he was thinking how fickle and undeserving his older brother was, how blind his old father had become, in more ways than one. So what did Jacob do? Life is stranger than fiction. Jacob disguised himself as his older brother, wrapped his arms with goat skins to imitate his older brother's hairy arms. He went into his blind father. When he felt his arms, Jacob had him deceived and tricked. The end-of-life blessing that should have gone to firstborn Esau came instead to Jacob. And that blessing was binding. Needless to say, when he found out, older brother Esau was not impressed. In fact, he made no bones about wanting Jacob's bones buried 6 feet under the sand. So Jacob fled, leaving a trail of wreckage behind him. As the saying goes, you may be done with the past, but the past isn't done with you. As the sun set on Jacob, he closed his eyes. He deserved to toss and turn. He deserved to be tormented by his conscience. He deserved to have nightmares of Esau coming for revenge. He deserved all that and more. But when he closed his eyes, he didn't get what he deserved. Instead, he dreamt of a ladder coming down from heaven with angels ascending and descending upon it. What he saw was an image of undeserved mercy. And what he heard was a voice speaking undeserved love. The God whom he had sinned against absolved him and said, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. What was true for undeserving Jacob is true for undeserving you and me. Which one of us here does not have countless things in his past of which he is ashamed? Guilt and shame extending up to the very present. Trust we have betrayed, relationships we've hurt, even destroyed, consequences and fear of consequences, a trail of wreckage behind us. We've lived as if our dear Father in heaven was just some blind fool to be deceived, as if our brothers here on earth were given simply for us to use and throw away as we see fit. Deceiving In truth, it is we who are deceived. And God looks down upon us. God looks down upon us as a father in mercy. In the Old Testament, he says, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And in the New Testament, he says, I am with you, even to the end of the age. There is a great ladder that reaches down from heaven. God comes down to sinners. Heaven comes down to earth. There is a great ladder that reaches down from heaven. And it is as Jacob dreamed. From this ladder, heaven's helpers come. The holy angels ascend and descend, serving God by serving you. From this great ladder, all God's mercy comes down to earth. Now, what Jacob saw in a dream, Nathanael saw with his eyes. Fast forward with me from the Old Testament to the New, from Jacob to Nathanael. What Jacob saw in a dream, Nathanael saw with his eyes. You will see heaven opened, Jesus said, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The ladder that comes down from heaven is the Son of Man. Jacob's ladder is Jesus Christ. Without this word from Jesus, we never would have seen it. Without this word of Jesus, we would be spiritually blind. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, but turn out that lamp, and we're in the dark. What does it mean to be in the dark? Ask Jacob, ask Nathanael, ask any saint. None could see God rightly, though he saw them. None knew God fully, though they were fully known by him. And so it is with each one of us. To be known by God is a startling thing. Nathanael had never met Jesus, but Jesus sure seemed to know him. He greeted Nathanael as if they were old friends. That's strange. As if they were old friends. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus answered. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. That's all it took to realize that you are seen by God. To realize that you are known by God through and through. And to come to know that there's nothing hidden from him. He knows you even better than you know yourself. Because contrary to what the world would tell you, you're not your own. You're his. Of course, to be known by God is not in itself a comforting thing. When people say, it's okay, God knows what's in my heart, they say a foolish thing. He knows what's in your heart, all right. He knows that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. He knows what's in your heart, all right, better even than you do, and it's damnable, worthy of earthly punishments and consequences, as well as those which are eternal. But God descends to us and comes down to know us in a different kind of way. Jesus shows this very thing with Nathanael. Think of it. To be greeted by the Lord, not as you deserve, but to be greeted as Nathanael was, to be greeted by the Lord as a dear old friend. To be known by the Lord, not as you deserve, but to be known as Nathanael was, to be known by the Lord in the way of his grace. To know that he is a friend of sinners and eats and drinks with them. To know that you are not your own because you were bought with a price that he willingly paid. That's not only comforting. It's true. It is exactly how God means to be and is with you. God looks upon you in a friendly way. Each one of your sins, past and present, great or small, hidden or known, each one of your sins has been paid for by the great drops of his own precious blood. The same holy blood that he pours out for you this day in covenant, in contract, that you might drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Not only does he know you in a gracious way, he reckons you to be his friend. Lifted up on the cross between heaven and earth, he is the ladder that brings heaven's mercy to you. Now, when Nathanael first heard of Jesus, he scoffed. How can any good come from Nazareth? And we might scoff too. How can any good come from water of this little font? How can any good come from preaching of this tiny pulpit? How can any good come from a little bit of wine and bread from this altar? How can any good come from the church? Thanks be to God. The Lord saw Nathanael under a fig tree, and he now sees us under the tree of the cross. You haven't come this morning to sit in a building made with human hands. You haven't come this morning to a country club of like-minded people. You haven't come this morning to hear a preacher fill the air with the power of positive thinking. You've come this morning into the presence of Jacob's ladder, the ladder from heaven to earth. It comes down from heaven here into this font and here into this pulpit and here onto this altar. You have come this morning to what Jacob dreamed and to what Nathanael saw, to the foot of Jacob's ladder. You have come into the gracious presence of Jesus Christ himself. Whether you believe it or not, whether you scoff at it or not, here heaven pours out its mercies for you. Here, heavenly beings ascend and descend. Angels and archangels serve God by serving you. Here, God speaks his absolution to you once more and calls you his friend. He says, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I am with you, even to the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for